You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I saw it was over 500 laws in the U.S. against the queer community that have been brought up in different states and talked about at the federal level that affect our rights, our way of living, affect your safety in school, you know, just being you. And teens need to hear that they are valued, that they can be themselves, that they are loved, that they have a future. And that's why this book is important.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora, always in search of stories. And today I have with me two fabulous storytellers, a friend of mine, Jody Anders, and a friend of hers, Eric Rosswood. Friends of friends of friends. Eric, I guess you're a friend of mine too.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. Jody and Eric are both writers extraordinaire. They've written lots of things. Eric, various things that you've written have recently come out with a picture book called Strong about the first, you know what, I'm going to let you say it because you say it better than I do. And Jody, just to quickly introduce her, you, of course, are a screenwriter, a children's writer. This is a nonfiction book. We're going to be talking, of course, about queer cheer, but let's go to you first, Eric. Tell us about your background, about Strong, what that is, and all the awards it's won.
Yeah, sure. My name is Eric Rosswood. I write books for all ages, from picture books all the way to parenting books and in between. My most recent one before Queer Cheer was a picture book called Strong, about the world's first and only openly gay strongman competitor. And he's broken American weightlifting records. And it's about all the different ways that we can all be strong. It's not just physical, but it could be what's inside as well. And that recently won the Stonewall Honor from the American Library Association.
That is huge. The American Library Association. That is the highest degree, the highest pedigree, I should say.
It's a huge honor, yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Jody, tell us what you, I mean, I know what you've been writing somewhat, but tell our audiences.
So I mostly write YA fantasy, and this was definitely a foray into nonfiction, but I've worked for over 20 years with youth nonprofits and, of course, just been involved in the queer community and love this project that basically marries all the things I love, writing, nonprofit, queer teens, like it's fantastic.
So how did you both come together on this particular project? How did it evolve?
The publisher of one of my parenting books actually approached me after there was the whole issue in Florida with the Don't Say Gay bills. They were trying to punish teachers and librarians for having queer books in schools. They wanted to get rid of them. There were also a lot of other laws in other states that were targeting teens, specifically queer teens. And my publisher reached out to me because she knows that I write in that arena and said, we would love to do something to kind of help inspire them, let them know, you know, this is just a bump in the road. We can get through these things. Is there anything that you can do for words of wisdom. And I love the idea. And I immediately thought of Jody because I know that Jody has all this background working with teens and teaching them leadership skills and positivity. And I reached out to her and said, I think you'd be great for this project. Do you want to join with me on this? Let's do this together. It'd be great.
And I said, yes.
That's great. That's fantastic. And so describe the project, because it's a different kind of book. Is it an anthology? Is that how you describe it? Because I know you've collected all these different stories.
Well, it's actually more like a positivity book with various sections that teens might face in their life. And we actually sort of evolved from, you know, the affirmations and words of wisdom when we decided to interview teens all across the U.S. And as we were interviewing these teens, we just really saw what was important and, you know, decided between the research that we had looked at how what affected teens the most and between what our teens were saying, we divided them into 7 different categories and essentially had quotes married with the words of wisdom, married with questions, activities that could help someone just do some self-reflection. And then it all kind of ties together in the end with some affirmations to give some self-empowerment.
So I'm going to ask a really basic question. I think it's basic, but hopefully it gets to the crux of, you know, why you did this. Why is this important?
I think no matter what time we're in, it's important because, you know, queer teens deserve to feel valued, deserve to feel happy, deserve, you know, positive, but especially lately, especially over the last few years. And even as, you know, we're facing possibly even more restrictions, there's been, I think last I saw, it was over 500 laws in the U.S. against the queer community that have been brought up in different states and talked about at the federal level that affect our rights, our way of living, affect your safety in school, you know, just being you. And teens need to hear that they are valued, that they can be themselves, that they are loved, that they have a future. And that's why this book is important.
And I think to add on that too a little bit, if I could, I was just talking about how there's all these book bans going out and the book bans are at an all-time high right now. And they're specifically targeting queer books and books that have people of color or people of color authors or main characters. And one of the things that sends a message is that there's something wrong with that. And there's not anything wrong with who you are as a person. And I think when we're getting that message of you can't tell your story, you can't be who you are, there's something wrong. I'm going to butcher this quote. I think it was from Sally Ride, who was first female astronaut from the United States. I think she said, you can't be what you can't see. So it's really important for us to be able to see other people like us and hear from other people like us that let you know that it's okay. And that's one of the reasons why Jody and I wanted to interview the teens, because we're not teens anymore. So we thought it was really important for teens to hear this from other teens as well. So like Jody said, we interviewed them and said, you know, what are some issues that you deal with on a day-to-day basis? And we kind of collected all those, and that's how it was broken down. And what we do is we introduce the topic, and then we go immediately into the teens talking about the topic. And they each bring in a different perspective of how they've dealt with that specific situation. And then we go through and we reinforce it with like exercises they can do, activities. And then we end, like what Jody was saying, with the affirmations on a positive note. And then it cycles through to the next topic. So the teens are a main voice in there because we really wanted them to hear it from themselves.
So, Eric, you mentioned very relevant the book bans.
Yes.
And the fact that banning books is on all-time high or on high right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? And is that simply because of the state of our leadership right now? Is it something that will change? Why do you think this is happening?
For me personally, I think we see cycles. I think everything is cyclical. I find that we're always taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back. So I also like to think of this in a positive mindset that, yes, even though we have these setbacks, we are still making progress. Because if you look back at the last few years, I mean, we have marriage equality now. We got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We've had new adoption laws to protect queer families. I mean, we are making a lot of progress, even though we keep getting hit back. So I just want to make sure that we don't focus just on the negative, because there are a lot of things that really we should be happy for. But yes, I think with the book bans, I think with the laws that are coming to attack the trans community, specifically with trans playing in sports or with gender affirming care, I think a lot of times people like to pick on what they think is the easiest. So like the smaller minorities, because it's not a large community that can stand up and voice back. And I think that's why allies are so important too. So our community is, I guess, an easy target. But when we band together and we stick together, we do see progress. That makes sense.
Yes, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you rightly mentioned, you know, let's not focus on the negativity. And yours is a positivity book. But I have to ask, one of the reasons that you wanted to put this project together, is it to see whether it would stand the test of possibly being banned or because others were being banned?
No, we actually talked about, you know, the possibility of it being banned and things like that. But really, it hurts it to be banned. For us, we talked greatly about how can we get this book into teenagers' hands, because there are other obstacles, such as them being able to afford it, them being in an area where it might be banned, you know, from the library, from their school, from wherever. And how can we get around those obstacles? So we definitely don't want the book to be banned. And there was no desire in any way to get it banned. And, you know, so we didn't want to test anything. Hopefully it never gets banned. That would be my hope.
I do want to say something really quick. If it does get banned, in case any of your readers are looking to read banned books, I believe the New York Public Library, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they were at a time, are allowing their membership to anyone in the U.S. That they can go and check out books electronically if they can't check them out in their own area. So if anyone out there is trying to get access to something, definitely check your local library or the New York Public Library if you can't get access on your own.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are doing that now. So it's pretty fantastic. Shout out to libraries. It's incredible the amount of care, love, and support that they give, especially for queer teens, the resources that they can have. But access to banned books, you can probably ask any librarian how that could be possible for you, and I'm sure they will help you.
Fantastic. So teens, just going back to sort of that target group for a second, it's a difficult time of life anyway, right? They're questioning so much. I mean, certainly gender, sexuality, but identity issues, what's happening at home, independence, you know, other things. Do you think that sexuality and questioning it and questioning their place in, you know, where they fit, is this exacerbated during the teenage years? Does it change later? Is it easier later?
I feel like, I mean, it definitely depends on where you live, which is one of the reasons that we interviewed teens all across the U.S. because obviously a teen growing up here in Los Angeles is going to have a different time than, you know, maybe someone growing up in Oklahoma. But in general, it does seem like teens are a little more accepting and open, but there's still a lot of bullying, a lot of, you know, difficulty. And when you have something that's such a core part of who you are, when you're pretty young, in most cases, that something's different. And feeling different and wrestling with that and trying to look at your peers and see where you fit in differently than the normal teen issues is definitely something that's exasperated, you know, definitely something that will turn to books or media or something to try to find someone that's like you, try to find a way to feel normal, basically, to feel accepted. And that's very rough.
And I think that's something that goes beyond your teenage years too, because do we ever truly know who we are, right? I mean, we can be more confident in our own skin, but our surroundings are constantly changing, right? We may move to a different location and now you're in a community of people that are different than you. And so one of the things that we really talk about in length in the beginning of the book is not just your own identity, but like intersectionality as well, and that there's so many things that make you who you are. We talk about your race, your gender, your sexual orientation, your religion, you know, your heritage. Some people, their identity is part of their profession. So someone who went to school and is a doctor, being a doctor is part of who they are, right? So we talk about, like, there's so many things that make up who you are, and they could change. Just because you are one thing now doesn't mean that's who you are your rest of your life. And also, it's okay to still figure out who you are. You're not on a specific timeline. And we really have people do introspective questioning. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but do deep dives and look into themselves to see how their different identities interact with each other and how they may interact with other people based on those identity groups. So, like, for example, when you're at church, do you present yourself the same way as you present yourself at school or at your home with your parents or when you're in a sport or something? Are you the same person all the time? Are you the same person as you present yourself on social media? Or are you presenting some other way? So we do a deep, deep dive in identity and intersectionality and how you interact with others. I did a presentation with a bunch of teachers and educators who saw the book, and they're like, we would love to use this with our GSAs and pride clubs at our school. And they asked me to come in and talk about it. And I did the identity activity. We spent over an hour, and they were like blown away. And these are other adults and these are educators. And they were like, I never thought of my identity in this way. And I never thought how this part of my identity would make me interact with this person at my table differently than this other person at this other table. So it's kind of an eye-opener.
Amazing. The identity activity. I love that. I love the idea of that. Do we get that in the book? Is that one of the exercises or part of it?
A piece of it. We expanded on it for a session. Jody and I have talked about going and doing presentations with GSAs and Pride clubs and kind of doing deep dives into these parts of the group. And we've done a couple, and they've been received pretty well. So great.
Fantastic. And so I know that, Jody, you're going to read us something from the book. So give us a little bit of a setup as to what that's going to be. What are you going to read?
Yeah, absolutely. So this actually fits in nicely with our conversation about the book bans. It's kind of fun. I don't know if I can show it maybe on the camera just a little bit, but we created a fake news article, but it's actually a 100% true story. And it's based on the interview of two of our teens who started a organization after they worked to fight a book ban in their school system. And I won't reveal too much more than that.
Okay, we're going to learn in the fake story. So before we segue into that, Eric, let our listeners know where they can find your work online or anywhere offline.
Sure. We have a joint website called queercheerbook.com. And then I have a personal website. It's ericrosswood.com. It's R-O-S-S-W-O-O-D. That has my other books on there. And then also links to my social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If anyone's still on Twitter, I don't know if anyone is. But
great. Jody, would you like to add to that?
Yeah. And I'll also add that our socials are also on the queercheerbook.com website. But you can also find me at jodianders.com. That's JodiAnders.com. And most of my socials are just at Jody Anders.
So much to dig into, dive into, and look forward to. Thank you so much for joining us today on the True Fiction Project.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
That was Jody Anders and Eric Rosswood, both of them writers and co-authors of Queer Cheer, joining us today on the True Fiction Project. And I am your host, Renita Hora.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now to the premise of the True Fiction Project, which of course is to create fiction out of nonfiction.
Queer Student News, Students Protecting Education, the Power of Youth Activism. When sophomores Jill and Luke learned people were trying to ban books from their school library, they gathered friends from the Racial Equality Alliance Club and attended the next board meeting to speak out. You could see from their list that they had an agenda, explained Luke. Every single book they were trying to get rid of had to do with either race, sexuality, gender identity, or sexism. It was really upsetting. Teachers, parents, and other community members joined to speak out, and in the end, they won. After successfully fighting against the book ban, Jill and Luke founded Students Protecting Education to promote diversity and inclusion. They soon discovered there was more work to do. When they learned that the book banners were running for the local school board elections, they jumped back into action. Jill and Luke identified and supported three candidates running on a pro-student platform. Despite not being old enough to vote, the members of Students Protecting Education made a difference by phone banking, posting on social media, and appearing on the news. Their efforts paid off because all three candidates they supported won the election. It's unusual for people our age to speak up, at least in our area, said Jill. So, for the board to see students and say, they actually care about this, maybe we should listen for once, I think was very eye-opening. Students Protecting Education also campaigned for a proposition allowing a student to serve on the school board. That proposition passed by a 3-to-1 margin. Jill and Luke have had a lot of success. Students Protecting Education now has student members in 22 states. These teens prove that youth activism can be a powerful force for change and that young people can make a difference in the world. And I'll also share at the bottom of this lovely fake but real newspaper their actual organization's website, which is www.studentsproed.org. So students, PROED.org.
Here at the True Fiction Project, we're always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So if you have a great story or know someone who does, or if you're a writer who'd like to be featured on the show, then please do get in touch with us at runita.com/contact. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, then you can do so by visiting substack.com/@RunitaHora, all spelled out one word. That's substack.com/@RENITAHORA. I'll be offering paid subscribers something a little extra special each time, including a video version of this podcast.